You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
We're halfway through 2021, and that is quick. That is quick. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, man, this year is not going fast enough, right? As we're staying in a quarantine and we're wanting to have a bit more freedom, I'm sure a lot of us are probably wanting to say, hey, I wish this year would end faster or sooner than later, just so that there could be more freedom and we could see more friends and hang out with those that we have missed for so long. Regardless of all those things, you know, God is faithful and He is continuing to sustain each one of us. So we want to welcome you again to ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here, and always, always a joy to have you guys with us. We're currently doing a series called, what's our series? Fast Forward. Went blank there for a minute. Fast Forward, and today's title is Press Forward. So if you miss any of our messages the past couple of weeks, you can just go to any of our channels online, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, and you can catch up with the previous teachings on this. When I was younger and started to learn how to drive, there were essentials that you're taught and reminded that you're supposed to do. And one of that is checking everything before you actually start moving your car. So in my excitement as a young driver, I got into the car, I went in, started the engine, put the gear on drive, and started to press the accelerator. And I wasn't going anywhere. And I'm thinking, what happened? I mean, I followed all the advice my instructor, who was my dad, told me to do, you know, ignition in, foot on the brakes, put in the gear, and press the accelerator. So I'm pressing the accelerator, nothing's happening. The engine is starting to roar, and nothing's happening. And I finally looked beside me, and I realized that the handbrake was still on. It was still up. So that's one of the things. When you're driving, it's always important, if you want to get moving in any particular direction, you have to be sure that your parking brakes are actually down. Some things can hold us back from moving forward if left unchecked. That's the reality that all of us need to know. You don't have to be a Christian to believe that. That is just the truth. If we leave some things unchecked, it can actually prevent us from moving forward. So for those of us who drive, if it's a motorcycle or a car, make sure that your park brakes are off so that you could actually start moving forward. And so regular checkups are important to keep moving forward. I learned my lesson then, and every now and then, I occasionally forget, especially in traffic. You know, if you're sitting at the traffic lights for a long time and you want to get your foot off the brakes, you just put the handbrakes on, or you put the park brakes on. And then the green light goes on and you forget you have it on, and you're wanting to start to move and you forget that it's on. So it's always good to have regular checkups. That's how it is in many ways when it comes to our Christian life. When we walk and when we follow Jesus, we need to remind ourselves that God wants us to be moving in a forward direction in our life. God didn't create us or called us to follow Him and said, okay, now that you're following me, I want you to live in the past. I want you to stay right where you are and don't go anywhere. No, when we follow Jesus, the direction that He calls us is always forward. When He called His disciples, He said, come follow me. The motion was forward. It wasn't backward. It wasn't stay where you are. It was forward. But sometimes, you know, we get stuck. We're in the middle of the year and some of us are stuck. We're going through a relationship challenge and we feel stuck. Some of us feel stuck at work. We feel like no progress is happening. Some of us feel stuck in our spiritual maturity, in our walk with God, and we feel like, why am I not growing? Why are some people more passionate and I'm not? And it's good to have those questions and to ask those questions, because God is wanting us to progress in our life. He's wanting us to advance in our life. And so this morning, we're going to look at a passage of scripture from Paul that will help us understand how can we actually move from where we are so we don't stagnate, we don't just stay in one spot, but there is actually progress in my life, in my relationships, in my spiritual walk with God, yes, possibly even, you know, in our work, in our families. And so we're going to go into the letter of Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Philippi. It's an ancient city. It says here, "For we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. It's true that I once relied on all that and I had become, I had a reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments more than others, for my pedigree was impeccable." So again, Paul telling us a little bit about his background. Why was he so good? He tells us here, he says, "I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel as the son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth and was raised in the strict tradition of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness of the Torah," that's the Jewish Bible, "no one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the messianic believers with religious zeal." Messianic believers were the Christians in the first century. So here is Paul, and you might be saying, man, what does that all mean? He's speaking to Jewish people. And he was saying, you know what? I'm the best Jew there is. You think you're a Jew? I'm the best Jew that there can be. On the eighth day, I was circumcised. Okay, so what's the big deal with that? Again, according to law, you had to do that. If you're a good Jewish boy coming from a good Jewish family, you're supposed to follow all the rules to the letter. That's how you showed your righteousness. And Paul just stated, all of these things I've done from the time I was born to the time when I grew up, even my pursuit of a career, you cannot be more Jewish than a Pharisee. Because Pharisees know the Torah, the Jewish law. They know it inside out. In fact, they're not satisfied with just that. They even add their own rules and laws just to make sure and just to show off and to show people that, see how good we are. This is how good I am, Paul says. This is my background. And yet it's interesting what he says in the following verses. In verse 7, he says, "Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them." What? Well, you just told us all of your credentials and how good you are. You went to this school, you graduated from that school. This is your job right now. All the certificates are on your wall. And now you're telling us all of that, all of your accomplishments, all of those plaques on your wall. He says, "I've forsaken them all, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord." Hold on. Is that what happens when you follow Jesus? You just automatically forget all of those things, and everything becomes garbage? Well, verse 8, he clarifies some more. He says, "To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap." It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. Wow. So if you know somebody that's very well accomplished, I mean, Paul is one of those people. He was very well accomplished, but apparently, after an encounter with Jesus Christ, he realizes everything he worked his life for, everything that he was building his life on, was actually worthless. It was garbage. After this checkup encounter with Jesus, he realizes it's all wrong. And this was a supernatural encounter with Paul. You see, he was happily, merrily going about his activity, doing what he usually did, telling people about Judaism, teaching people about the Torah, persecuting Christians, throwing them into jail, even witnessing the martyrs of Christianity. And along that way, what he thought, the direction that he was on, was actually the right one. We can do that, right? We can move forward. We can actually progress in our life, but progress in the wrong things. We could be advancing in our life, but we may be advancing in the wrong things. Paul encounters Jesus and realizes, with all the progress in my life, I finally realized that, man, those things are worthless compared to what Jesus is. This encounter with him, this checkup that Jesus has with him. You say, why? Why did he come to that conclusion? He explains in verse 9. He says, my passion now is to be consumed with him, with Jesus, and not cling to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. You see, his life was built all about the good things that he could do, how well he could memorize the law, how well he could implement the law. But it really wasn't about getting close to God. It wasn't really about, you know what, I don't know God more. It was more about, look what I can do, and with all of my efforts. And he realizes those righteousness, my way of living, was actually wrong. Verse 10, and I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings and become like him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. This now is his new direction. He realizes, I've been living life wrong. I've been piling up wrong, leaning on things that were wrong. This is now my new direction. So the once people that he was persecuting and throwing into jail, he just became one of them. One of those people. A Messiah devoted follower. How ironic is this? But he says in verse 12, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. I don't know about you, but can you feel Paul's passion in this letter? It's almost like, man, he just laid out all of his accomplishments. He laid out his background, and it's impressive. All those degrees, all those schools he graduated from, and what he was already doing. If you were a Jew like him, you would be like, man, this guy really is a Jew. He's a better Jew than me. He's a better Jew than all the Jews that I know. That's how good he was. And he turns around and he says, that's all garbage. What? I thought that's what we're supposed to do. And he says, no, that's worthless. But what doesn't diminish is his passion. What doesn't diminish is his zeal. The same zeal, you could hear it from his voice and in this letter. He's saying, now, here's my one thing. My one thing is to pursue Christ. My one thing is to follow Jesus with all that I am. And I'm not there yet. I'm still on the way. But I'm going to keep moving forward, even with all the challenges. I believe this is how God wants us to live today. He wants us to live with passion. There is no better way to live life, but we can live passionately in the wrong direction. That is what is dangerous. And so Jesus, out of his love for Paul, out of his love for us, he encounters Paul. and reveals to him, Paul, we need to have a checkup. And he says, I love your passion. I love your zeal. You think you're honoring God, but you know what? You're actually persecuting me. And he corrects him. And because of that encounter, Paul's life has a turnaround. The same passion, the same zeal is there when he was persecuting Christians, when he was passionately talking and teaching about the Torah, was now towards Jesus Christ. He was now pursuing Christ. And this life would go on to the very end. He would end up actually dying out of his belief in Jesus Christ. The same circumstances where we saw the first martyr, Stephen, die, Paul was there before he encountered Jesus. Later on, Paul himself would also succumb to death because of his commitment to Christ. If we are going to move forward in the right direction, we need to have regular checkups. Just like a car requires a regular checkup. I learned this the hard way, another car story. Because I didn't check my oil gauge, one day I was driving the car and the light started flashing, and I told myself, you know what? There's still time. I'll be able to reach the gas station and then I'll get oil for my engine. But you can only go so far. And I tried to stretch it as far as I can, and all of a sudden the car stopped. You couldn't push it anywhere. You couldn't push start it. No, because when the oil is gone, the engine will not run. And so I had to get somebody to come and pour oil in the car while I was in to eventually get it running again. In fact, they actually have to clean the engine again. You can't drive it anymore. They have to remove all the oil so that you can start moving again. It's important to have regular checkups. Regular checkups are important to keep us moving forward, not just moving forward, but moving forward in the right direction. And so today we want to talk about four things that will help us, I believe, according to Paul's letter right here that we have just read, to help us keep in check, to ensure that we are moving forward in the direction that God has for us. And the first thing we find here is that we need to check our perspective. We need to check our perspective. Paul had his perspective checked. He thought self-righteousness was the way to go. He thought following that way was the way to go. And he was doing everything right. He was doing it passionately. But after his encounter with Jesus, Jesus tells him, no, your righteousness, your goodness, your good works is never going to be enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You cannot memorize scriptures enough. That's not enough to get you to heaven. That's not enough to get you right with my heavenly Father. Jesus says, the only thing acceptable is my righteousness. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through him. He is the only way. And his sacrifice is the only one that is acceptable. Why? Because it was a sinless sacrifice on the cross. That life is the only one acceptable. Paul thought that everything that he was doing was the right way. But Jesus encounters him and the Holy Spirit convicts him and he learns it is not. We need to check our perspective and we need to be willing to change our mind if we learn that is actually wrong. That's what probably one of the hardest things to do, right? That's one of the hardest things to do. For husbands and wives, that's one of the hardest things to do, especially if you're newly married. Because you're all insisting on your own way. You think your way is best. And then when the spouse says, no, what you did was wrong, no one wants to give in because both feel like they're right. And then there's disharmony, there's trouble, there's strife when that happens. Humility is required to actually come to a point of accepting that, hold on, maybe it was wrong. Maybe what I thought was actually wrong. It is only when we start to consider and accept that we made a mistake, that change can begin to happen and movement forward can begin to take place. It's like driving to a location, and what you thought you were following was the right direction, and you realize at some point in this journey, you're on the wrong road. You have a choice. You either stop where you're going, turn around, reroute, and go in the right direction, or refuse to recognize that you're wrong, keep going forward, and end up being in a place you didn't plan to in the beginning. That's what happens when we're proud, when we refuse to accept and recognize that we possibly made a mistake. Thank God Paul recognized, and he was humble enough to say, yes, you know what? My desire is to actually to honor Jehovah God. And Jesus, that is you. He realizes he was doing the wrong thing. All his accomplishments, he said, that he once took for credit for, he now chose to forsake because he realized it was wrong. What are some things that you need to change in your mind today that may be wrong? Some things in your relationship might be not working right because you choose to refuse to recognize the wrong thing. Jesus reveals it. And you say, how do we know if it's wrong? The Word of God is given to us. The Word of God guides us to know what is right and what is wrong. There has to be a standard. Nobody can make their own way in life. Either there is one truth or there is no truth. But there cannot be multiple truths. There's only one. There's only one. And as Christians, we believe that. We believe that the way to God is both wide and narrow. Because God loves all, but the only way to get to Him is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, that's the only way. For Paul, when he finally recognized that, then change began to happen in his life, and he was able to move in the direction that God had for him. Second, we need to check our baggage. How many of you guys, when you travel, you bring a lot of baggage with you? You bring a lot of stuff with you. How many of you are people who carry or bring things more than you need? I think I'm one of those people. That's usually reserved for a particular gender, but somehow I just want to always be sure that I have enough underwear. You can never have enough underwear, right? Because when you go on holiday, I mean, some people will say, you know, just side A and side B, Chad. I mean, what's the big deal? I don't know. I mean, for me, I just want it to be fresh, you know? Extra clothes. There's always an extra shirt. It's like an excess. But sometimes those excesses are unnecessary, right? You don't need to bring them. Paul says here in verse 8, to truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. There are some things that you just don't need to bring along with you. How many of you guys know a hoarder? Right? Hoarders? You know hoarders? Hoarders are people who keep stuff that you don't need anymore, that the majority of people consider garbage, but some people still keep it, like receipts from 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And when you're cleaning the house, you find a little box, you open it, it's filled with receipts. And it's like, they just look like paper because the ink has already faded away. And you're asking, what are these? And they're like, oh, those are my receipts. Those are my receipts. What receipts? There's nothing here. This is just scratched paper. You can't even see anything. But hoarders do that, right? They do that. They keep those seemingly insignificant things that other people think are garbage, like pieces of candy wrappers that they had when they were 6 years old. Why do you have this? Because, you know, my crush gave that to me. That's like the first thing that they gave. You're married, and your wife isn't your crush. I mean, what's up? Hoarders just hold on to stuff for no apparent reasons, like, apart from nostalgia and the feelings of those memories that you have. But not all the things that we hold on to, we should actually. Not all the baggage that we bring along, we should actually carry. There are definitely some baggages that we should bring along with us, but the excess, no. We don't need to hoard garbage. We don't need to carry around things that are necessary. Paul says we need to learn to discard. I'm thankful that Paul learned to discard the things that were unnecessary. What are the things that we need to discard today? Because these things could weigh us down. For Paul, it was the wrong way of thinking. He said, I grew up like this. This is what I thought was right. I was pursuing that direction. I realized it was wrong. I'm going to discard it. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. I'm not even going to hold on to it. I mean, it's there. I know it. And he's actually using it to teach others to get to Jesus. But he's not holding on to it. He's not propagating that message any longer. What's wrong thinking that we need to change? As we've been reading about Jesus, following Jesus, what have we realized that we're supposed to change? I mean, some of us keep holding on to sometimes the good things of the past as well. And we're longing for those things to come back. Can I tell you something right now? The life before the pandemic is not coming back again. The things, how life was before then, will not return 100% the way it was. Why? Because it's a new season. Church as we know it will not come back the way it was. There will be some elements of it, but not totally. All of it. We've already seen how travel has changed around the world. Well, a lot of things have changed. At the same time, there is the negative things that we hold on to. What are the hurts that are holding us back? Do you know, holding on to past hurts can hold us back from experiencing the things that God wants to take a hold of in our life right now? Past hurts. I mean, you've seen dogs, right? Dogs, when they get an injury, when they get a cut on their skin, what do dogs do? They lick their wound. Now, veterinarians tell us that that is actually has some healing compound. But you know, when we get hurt and we go back and lick our hurts in our memories, in our minds, it actually doesn't help, right? If we keep going back to it, and rehashing it and bringing up and talking about over and over again, it just brings pain. And because of that, we can't move forward. You know, I was hurt in that relationship, and so I don't want any other relationship. You know, I was hurt by this person, and so I don't want to connect with anybody else. I'm just good on my own because it's too risky. It's too risky. I may just get hurt. And it's past hurt. What about failures? Failures. How many of us are carrying failures around in our bags? Failures is one of the greatest preventive things that disable people from moving forward. You know, I've had a couple of failures in my life, and I realized that every time I allow those failures to get the better of me, it brings in anxiety, it brings in fear, and disallows me from moving forward. But the moment I learned to start celebrating my small wins, right? Small wins. You start celebrating small victories. I actually learned that I could actually do some things. You know, I'm actually good at some things. I may not be good at everything, and I may fail at some things, but there are some things I'm really good at, and over time, your confidence gets to be built up. Failures are a moment, they don't have to be a lifetime. But some of us do that, right? We allow failures to become our life because of something that happened years ago, and we're allowing it to dictate the attitudes and steal the joy from our lives. Negative thinking, sin, those are things that can hold us back. We just need to come to the Lord and set it right. This is where Elsa helps us, right? Say it with me. She said, what is she saying? She said, let it go. See, you know it. You know it. That's what she said. Just let it go. We're not going to sing that anymore, all right? That's been oversung. Third, check your motivation. Check your motives. We need to pursue the right things. Paul thought he was pursuing the right thing. And he did that with all of his might. But his motive was, look at me. It wasn't, look at God. It was, look at me. Look at what I've accomplished. Don't you know I'm a better Jew than you? Hey, eighth day, I was circumcised. You were circumcised on the ninth day. You're not a Jew. You're not a real Jew. You have to be circumcised on the eighth day. to be a real Jew. I mean, that's basically the kind of person that he was. So his motivation for doing the things that he did was about how good I was. My righteousness, my goodness. But now, in verse 9, he says, my passion now, his motive, is to be consumed with Jesus and not cling to my own righteousness, my own goodness. We need to learn to pursue the right things. What is motivating you right now to do what you do? Why do you spend overtime at work all the time? Well, because, you know, I want to amass riches. Why? Is there anything wrong with wealth? No, there isn't. But why do you do it? What's your motive behind it? Well, it's because of my family. Okay, that's a good thing. And aside from that, what else? No, I just want to get rich. That's probably not a good thing if you're a Christian. Because what we've learned is wealth isn't wrong, but we understand that we are given wealth and riches so that we can reflect the generosity of our God. That's clear in Scripture. And so we're supposed to give what we have. And generosity or wealth is not about how much you have, because somebody will always have more than you. But generosity is a matter of attitude. It's a matter of our attitude and our behaviors. If our motives are correct, it's going to come out. If you are faithful with little, God will entrust you with more. If you are generous with this, God will also allow you to be enriched in every way. And in every way doesn't necessarily mean materially, but He will enrich your life. What's our motives? Why do we come to church? Why do we watch online? Why do we stay at home? Why, you know, I mean, all these questions we need to ask. What is our motivation behind this? The good works that we do, the actions that we do. If it is anything aside from, you know what, this is what I know, honors God, reflects Him in my life, then we should probably have a checkup. Say, Lord God, help me to get my motives right. Paul finally sorted out the motives in his own life, and he realized, you know what? My motivations was selfish, it was self-centered, and I realized I was wrong. As a follower of Jesus, it needs to be Christ-centered, pointing towards Him. That's where my motives need to lie, and he pursued that with a passion. Paul said, I'm not there yet, but I'm gonna press on passionately towards that direction to reveal Christ in and through me. In fact, he believed this so well that he stated in his letter, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And he says, even if I die, it doesn't matter as long as God gets glorified. If I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. Talk about somebody with clear motives as a follower of Jesus. Paul got it down. So check our motives today. If we're going to move in the right direction, forward, our motives needs to be Christ-centric and Christ-focused. And finally, number four, we need to check our direction. We need to check our direction. We may be driving along the way passionately, but it's still wrong. Our direction needs to be future-focused. Why? Because that's where Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us forward to the future, not to the past. He said, come follow me, and it's towards the future. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and that is towards the future. He said, you need to be faithful, watch and pray, because I will come again. That is future-oriented. God didn't call us to live in the past. He called us and equipped us to live now, but at the same time to keep moving forward. Paul says, I fasten my heart to the future. I forget the past and I fasten my heart to the future. And he runs straight. Who are we running towards today? If we are running towards anything else aside from Jesus, then we're gonna find out in the end that that wasn't worth running for. If it's wealth, if it's fame, if it's power, pleasure, personal comfort, if that is what we are building our life on, if that's the direction of our life, we're going to find out in the end, man, that was a waste. But if our direction is Christ, towards Jesus, towards the path that he sets for us, his righteousness, not mine, his purpose, not mine, love for other people, not self-centered love, generosity, not selfishness, then we will see in the end how God will pat us on the back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, in the end, it's about our faithfulness to him. Yes, we need to be good stewards of all that he entrusts, but ultimately it has to be for him. A lot of times, the things in this world, the comforts, the pleasures, the security that we get used to, we get used to that so much that when Jesus actually redirects us, it's what prevents us from moving forward in his direction. Paul could have been comfortably sitting in the knowledge that he had, in the doctrine that he was holding on to. He could have continued to ignore Jesus. But because of that encounter, he said, you know what? There is a better way of living life. And he chose to embrace that. And millions of people from that point on have continued to embrace that call and that direction that Jesus has given to them. And as a result of this, have lived an abundant and full life. What do you need to check today in your life? So that you're not just moving forward, you're not just progressing, but you are moving forward in the right direction. Is it your motive? Is it the baggages that you're carrying that shouldn't be there anymore? Is it our direction? What is it that we're carrying today that we need to have the Holy Spirit check so that change will come? And as we progress, we don't progress in the wrong way, but we progress in the right way. God's purpose for each one of us is not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And so for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, you know that. Let's have those regular checkups so that we are moving in the right direction. If you're here today and you need to let go of some of those things, surrender some of those things, do it. Do it. Do it. Don't take it with you when you leave this room. Don't take it with you at the end of the stream. No, say, God, here it is. I'm letting go of that failure. I'm letting go of that hurt. I'm letting go of that sin. Because I want to take hold of what you have for me. The longer we hold on to those things, the more we're going to be prevented from taking hold of the things that God has for us. Let's pursue him with all that we are. You may not even know Jesus today, personally. Maybe you know about him, you've heard about him, but you haven't surrendered your life totally to him, meaning he's not the one leading you. You're not consulting with him in your decisions. You're not allowing him to direct your life. That's probably the reason why joy is temporary and it's not lasting. That may be the reason why happiness and peace is fleeting. It comes and goes. Jesus said when we come to him, he will give us everlasting joy, peace that passes all understanding. If that's you today.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.